Much to our surprise, especially my surprise, the book had lived on for the 10 years after I wrote it, and so it needed updating. It has sections on women in all kinds of fields in American life, and those I'm happy to say that there has been some modicum of progress for women in politics or women in science or women in business or women in the military over the last 10 years.
Your book starts with a little history of the second wave of pioneers like yourself who've broken down barriers for other women. And then you have this aside, and I just want to read from the book. And the aside is this: we've been known to grow a little grumpy over the ingratitude of young women for their sometimes smug assumption that all that woman stuff is passé, ancient history. We find ourselves muttering like the Wicked Witch of the West, "Just you wait, my pretty."
Or, "Just you wait, my pretty."
You do that much better than I do. And I'm from Kansas.
There you go. Well, you know, there's part of me that feels very strongly that the reason that we fought as hard as we did and continue to fight as hard as we do was to make it so that women coming after us didn't have to think about it. And so I get that they are not sitting there spending all day every day saying, "Oh, aren't you wonderful that you fought these battles for us," and that they just take it for granted. And I think that's great. But there is another part of me that says they really don't understand that as they keep moving in both the world of work and the world of marriage, that they are likely to hit obstacles that will surprise them, and then they will figure out why it's important to keep vigilant.
It was so interesting to me during the 08 campaign that so many young women did not see Senator Clinton's bid for the presidency as particularly historic. I mean, they sort of took it for granted that she, of course, could serve as president if elected, and weren't necessarily behind her because of the historic nature of her candidacy, which is both progress and a problem, I think.
Yes, I think that's a very good way of putting it. Now, look, she was running against an incredibly charismatic candidate at a time when people were very eager to hear his message. But it is true that you did have a lot of older women my age and slightly younger than me, who were very excited about the concept of a woman president. But you did not see that trickling down into younger women, and that's just a further statement of what we were just talking about, that there is not that sense that this is all still a fight to be fought.
You write in your book about your dismay over how Senator Clinton and Governor Palin were treated in the election, and you write, quote, I want to quote from the book again, "Things that were said about the women running, the blatant sexism in the media and among late-night comedians about New York Senator Hillary Clinton deeply depressed me, and the abuse of Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, the Republican nominee for vice president, was particularly discouraging."
Well, I found that the questions posed to her about raising children just really did discourage me, because I thought maybe we were past that, but clearly not. And they came up just again recently with the naming of Kirsten Gillibrand as the senator from New York. You know, Pat Schroeder went to Congress in 1972, and she was one of the first to go with little children, one of the first women to run for office as the mother of small children. And she thought, and I hoped, that she had put this question to rest with her very amusing answer to it, which was when people would ask her, "Well, who's going to take care of the children?" A question that has never, ever, 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 ever been asked of a male politician. She would say, "Well, you know, the children are just fine. Jim and I get up in the morning and we feed them a nutritious breakfast, and then we put them in the freezer, and then we go off to work, and then we come home and we defrost them, and we give them a lovely dinner where we all converse amiably." And, you know, And she was hoping that by ridiculing that question, that she would take it off the table. But clearly that has not happened in the last 37 years.
Some of my favorite parts of the book are your own personal stories. And you write about how your tenure at NPR has been immensely rewarding in no small part because of your colleagues Nina Totenberg and Linda Wertheimer. And I think one of your male colleagues called you all the Fallopian Jungle.
True story. He's not here anymore.
And you are.
That's right. We survive. It has been a remarkable relationship. You know, I think female friendships are always important, and we rely on our friends just incredibly, and men do too, but not to the same degree that women do. And in fact, there's some new scientific studies out showing that friendship actually causes you to live longer and to be healthier. I can see why that would be true. So to have these very close friendships in the workplace has been extraordinary. And not only have we not had any competition with each other, but we have been a constant source of support and comfort for each other, not to mention humor.
Much of your book is about the different perspective that women bring to whatever their profession is. And, for example, you write about in journalism, with more women doing political reporting, a candidate's character has become more of a newsworthy issue.
I think that's one of the things, you know, a lot of people think, oh, why should we write about the personal life of a candidate? And the truth is we don't, unless it's a candidate running for a very high office, or unless there's some hypocrisy involved or something like that. But when someone is running for president of the United States, a singular office where, so far it's still he, is not in the Senate with the check of another 99 senators, or in the House with 434 other House members. That person's whole life is important in forming a judgment about whether he should serve. And I think that women, when they started covering politics and were on the bus with the candidates and the other reporters, started seeing how some of these candidates behaved and started writing about it because it mattered. And I think that was upsetting to a lot of the people who had traditionally covered campaigns. It was kind of what happens on the bus stays on the bus. And that wasn't necessarily true once women got on the bus.
Mm-hmm. You also...
But, you know, I also see it, Sally, mm-hmm. in all kinds of other fields. I ran into Nancy Pelosi in the hallway at ABC the other day. And she started talking to me about the lactation rooms that she has put in around the Capitol. Now, I think it's fair to say that no male Speaker of the House has put lactation rooms in the Capitol, has not seen the need for both members and staffers to have a clean, quiet place to nurse their babies or pump breast milk. And I see it in the quotations that you read from some of these women who have achieved the highest corporate success. Indra Nooyi, who's head of Pepsi, you know, considered the third most powerful woman in the world by Forbes magazine, calls her mother in India every day. Again, I don't think her male predecessor probably did that. And talks about, remember, you are a mother, sister, daughter, friend, as she approaches this incredibly powerful job in business. So I think that there is just a different sensibility that women bring to the table.
You, in your career, were able to draw upon your own mother's expertise when she was in Congress. And I'm speaking of former Congresswoman Lindy Boggs, who knew, by golly, Jeanette Rankin.
True enough. I was thinking about it today. I just was at lunch with my mother, and I was driving her and a contemporary home, so I had 187 years of ladies in the car, and it was fabulous. You know, the other lady had been in the Navy in World War II, And hearing her stories, I mean, it just doesn't get much better than that. And they, of course, you know, were around when Jeanette Rankin came to Washington the second time in 1940. When she was elected in 1940, my father was elected the same year. He was 26 years old. And they all arrived in Washington at the same time.
You write about the important mentoring role we can all play for the young women who come after us. I think that's an important point to make in books about our past, present, and future as women.
And I, again, am heartened by how much of that is going on. I mean, there are a lot of things that do depress me after 10 years, you know, that we haven't elected a woman president, that it's only 17% of the Congress that is female, that it's, you know, only 13 of the Fortune 500 CEOs are female, things like that. But the things that are really heartening are the examples of the women who make it to the top and then help other women come along. And in pretty much every field. I had a fabulous interview with Billie Jean King last year. And, of course, she's worked so hard for women in sports. She's, you know, tried to get prize money equal for men and women, and she finally succeeded at Wimbledon. It took years. And she has a great program getting girls active and athletic called Go Girls Go for elementary and junior high girls. And Sally Ride has done the same thing with girls in science. She, we all know her as an astronaut, but she's also a physicist. And she has Sally Ride Science designed for middle school and high school girls, because we know that girls are great at science and engaged in it until they get to middle school, and then they start losing interest for one reason or another. So seeing that these women who have made it and are very public women are using their status, their celebrity, for want of a better word, status, to help other women and girls is really a great thing to see.
Well, you've certainly been a role model for many, including me, and I want to take this opportunity to thank you for that.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
And I have been speaking with NPR senior news analyst Cokie Roberts about her reissued book, We Are Our Mother's Daughters. Ms. Roberts, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Sally. It was lovely to be with you.